Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the second day of August. August? Where the heck did that come from? Second day of August on Adomini 2025, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, for your edification and delectation, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, and nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues?
It's nice.
Here comes the news.
It's nice you decided to grace us with your presence this week.
I am delighted to say that I left the house. A couple of weeks ago, I got gel shots in my knees, which are working, I think, and are better. But two weeks ago when I came to the show, Steve Ray was kind enough to share his cold with me, and it took me down hard. I admit it took me hard. So I did the show last week from home. Steve, miracle worker that he is, managed to get it all up so that I could do it from home without a problem. I was very appreciative of that.
All these wires.
All the wires. Too many
Yeah, but
wires.
We figured out that in the board. Yeah. I mean, we got it going.
That's what counts. All right. Here's the news. Canceling subscriptions should be easy. And the Federal Trade Commission agrees with you. But many subscription services force you to jump through multiple random infuriating hoops to do it. Last year, the FTC's click to cancel rule was blocked by, you guessed it, cable companies, who sued, arguing the FTC failed to conduct an economic impact study before making it easier to cancel over 1 billion paid subscriptions in the U.S. Early in July, a federal appeals court agreed, and the click-to-cancel rule was no more. On Wednesday, Democratic lawmakers in the House introduced a bill to revive click-to-cancel. Picking up where the FTC left off, the lawmakers announced the Click-to-Cancel Act, which requires companies to provide a simple, direct mechanism to cancel a subscription and immediately stop charges. And that'll happen. It also requires companies to obtain clear and direct consent before signing customers up for auto renewals. If the law is passed, and it is not passed yet, don't get excited, violations would be considered unfair or deceptive practices or acts under the FTC Act. Any company found to be frustrating the cancellation process could face significant fines, perhaps more than $50,000 per violation. There's a companion bill in the Senate which could help the bill advance quickly through both chambers of Congress. But it's unclear if the measure will have bipartisan support, as both Republican FTC commissioners notably voted against the rule, and only Democrats have so far attached themselves to the bill. Democrats will likely point to popular support for the rule to get Republicans on board. Let's face it, this could be the most popular action Congress could take this year. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is canceling subscriptions should be easy. So far, your choices are, I completely agree, I haven't had any trouble, I love jumping through hoops, and I only subscribe to the Ask Nick newsletter. So far, we've got 24 votes, and 20 of them are I completely agree. Two people subscribe to the Ask Nick newsletter, thank you very much. One hasn't had any trouble, and one lied and said, I love jumping through hoops. And, of course, you can vote in the poll. It's really easy. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, and vote in the poll. And then, of course, you can also give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415.
There was a viral video, and if it's the one, I think it's the one I found, 11 years ago. Kevin Rose, from Dig, when that was huge, tried to cancel Comcast because they were moving somewhere. And he said after about 10 minutes of trying to cancel and not being able to, he turned his recorder on. 20 minutes of him saying, please cancel. And the rep saying, well, we can give you this package. Please cancel me. Well, how about this package? Please cancel me. How about this? Please cancel me.
I tried to get off AOL back when you subscribed to AOL.
Mm-hmm.
I used their little unsubscribe button. I wrote them letters. I wrote them a registered letter,
mm-hmm.
which they signed for.
Yep.
And it's still, they would not get me off of AOL. The only way I finally got off AOL, I closed the checking account that was taking the money.
Mm.
Then I got a call from one of their lawyers.
Yeah. Huh? You're late.
You're late and we're going to sue you. And I said, here's my story, including the registered letter receipt.
Yep.
Let me look into this. And I never heard anything from it again.
It's amazing,
I actually
though,
had to close an account.
But it's amazing, though, the people that still have AOL accounts.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them were
free.
You forgot about them. Or, they were free when that short-lived time when AOL and Time Warner merged.
Right. Is the service still even around?
Oh, yeah. AOL still exists.
It's a news portal. It's owned by a venture capital. I think the same company bought... what was the other big one? Yahoo, I think. Yeah,
because their CDs make good coasters.
Yeah.
I mean,
I found one the other day. I have 100 free hours, Mister. 100.
I used to
free
have
hours.
You used to also get it on the 3.5-inch floppies.
Yep.
Oh yes, I have one of those.
I got downstairs in the basement where the shop was, a drawer you can pull it out, and 3/4 of it's full of the old. Disc with the AOL logo on them.
Yep. I have used those for Skeet.
Oh, I believe it, yeah. Why not?
There was a... somebody apparently from inside of Comcast in this viral video case responded on the note of anonymity. If you take the phone call and cancel the service... You get penalized for losing a customer.
Losing a customer, yeah.
So you do everything you can to not lose a customer because you don't want to get penalized, which is wrong at the other end, too.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, I had to close the actual account. Let me ask you guys, neither of you has a Samsung device?
No.
Samsung had a real issue this week I don't think I put it in the news.
With their phone?
With their services. Many of their services were down. And that was a pretty bad thing. It was mostly for the TV users.
Well, I know I have one of those tabloids, you know, for recording. And I noticed I got a couple notices from them that they were having hardware and that issues. So for me, you know, because I record through this, and matter of fact, I just wound up throwing, you know, a terabyte hard drive on it. I record a lot of the programs on 8, 10, and 13 that, you know, if I don't get to them because
sure.
I love recording, then that way I can fast forward through it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hate, even with the cable, my service is the Sling. I like to record a lot of stuff, and then I can fast through it, because they constantly, you know, I noticed the last half hour.
Oh, yeah.
They inundate you with, it's like they play 5 minutes of show, 7 minutes of commercial.
In the first half, they don't play as many commercials, so they make it up in the second
half. Yeah, to get you hooked in, and then it's...
Right.
Tons of commercial, and it's the same package.
Yeah, if it wasn't the same stupid commercial every time.
Yeah.
That's the thing that annoys the living heck out of me. On Plex, there's a station that on Tuesdays, I think it's Tuesdays, plays Forged in Fire. So I will put that on in the background while I'm doing stuff, just something to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't music, something different. Every commercial is the same commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's the same commercial in Spanish, so that's a little different. But it's the same set of commercials every single break. But, yeah, Samsung, the TV services had a pretty widespread outage. It hit a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you know, at that point, there's nothing you can do about it. You just wait. It's back now, I'm given to understand.
Yeah. I got a notice from mine that, you should be going back to uninterrupted service.
Yeah.
As they said, because I was watching a couple of them, and they were, glitchy. Real glitchy, and it's like, I just erase it. Yeah, I don't have tolerance.
It was pretty much a worldwide thing of many Samsung
services.
I wonder
why.
Well, who knows?
With the heat, maybe? I mean, let's face it. One end of the, what was it? All the way from Kansas down to Louisiana, they were getting 110 to 115 degree temperatures.
Yep.
That's enough to fry anything.
Well, it's interesting because Chromecast, Google Chromecast, had the same exact problem a couple of months ago. So we're wondering, what's going on there?
Well, as you know, with the ham radio, I got a friend that's up in Alaska. He's maybe, he's about 115 kilometers north of Anchorage. And he goes, you wouldn't believe it up here, Dave. He goes, it's been in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
He goes, we're only supposed to be in the 50s.
Yep.
He goes, this is unbelievable. He says, we got ice caps and everything else. You go up to some of it, and some areas that you've, he goes, as long as I've been up here, never seen some of these mountains without snow on them.
Yep.
He goes, you can go up a lot higher, and the snow's all melted.
Yep. It's bad. It's bad. But at any rate, that Samsung thing, anybody who got caught with that, it wasn't you. And I know a half a dozen people who spent, a day playing with their televisions, mm-hmm. trying to fix.
Rebooting. I was fighting with a printer yesterday.
Who won?
No.
The printer.
Yeah.
They always do.
And it's 2 weeks out of warranty.
Of course.
And the Wi-Fi died. It won't connect. And if it does show up on the network, there's a communication error trying to set it up. And they've intentionally disabled the USB port on the printer.
What brand?
HP. Because it's one of their low-end...
You can't get a replacement card for the network?
No.
Because
it costs more than the printer does.
Oh, because I was lucky enough on my HP 4000.
Yeah, the big laser jets.
Yeah.
This is a $100 printer.
This one, I wound up, the network card went on it, and I thought, oh, shoot. I bought that back when I was first starting the business.
Yeah.
Right? And it still prints good. I mean, it's still a really good printer.
Yeah, and several.
I was able to go, somebody on eBay had a used network card. Mm-hmm. They guaranteed it would work. So I bought it for a whole $40.
$40 American money?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they shipped it to me, and it's been, knock on wood, working great since then. And it's a two-tray printer, and it still prints good.
Those are the big ones. The $100 ones are all surface-mounted.
In fact, my going there to service why she can't print was cost more than the printer did.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Is it the Wi-Fi? Is it the computer? Is it the router? You got to figure out where it is.
Right.
But most of the printer companies have these models that require internet access.
Right.
So they can sell you an ink subscription. Some of them require an ink subscription. Right. I try to stay away from those. In the HP model, those are the ones that usually have an E in it.
Oh.
But sometimes there's a subscription you don't have to subscribe to, but still they disable the USB because it has to be Wi-Fi because it has to connect to the internet.
My 8710, it's a small HP color printer. The wife loves using that one. And I got a notice, it needed some firmware update.
Mm-hmm.
The sneaky SOBs. I went ahead and did it. I thought, I'll keep it up to date and that. Now, because I buy third-party cartridges...
Oh, please.
Can't do that.
The SOBs are complaining. This is not an authorized cartridge. And it's giving me all kinds of trouble. I had to keep playing around with it. What a pain.
The only problem I've ever had in a Brother printer is I bought a third-party cartridge, and it was gray. It wasn't black.
Oh.
You know, it was a dark gray, and it just wasn't, you know, Elaine prints a lot of stuff for market, prints labels and all of those things, and they need to be crisp. And this just wasn't crisp. Yeah. So I went back to the real cartridges, but it wasn't the printer.
It wasn't anything that Brother did.
Mm-hmm. It was just this crappy third-party cartridge.
Sometimes they're too cheap. So say the regular cartridge is $50. A $40 cartridge will probably work okay.
Yeah.
A $20 cartridge is crap.
Yes, yeah. No, this was a $40 cartridge. It was just that brand.
Yep.
You know, I've used other brands. This is the first time I tried this brand. I'll never try it again. I also bought a UPS.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because you said yours was going out.
Yeah, well, what happens is, if you look at the back of this particular model, there's four plugs on each side. And the four on one side are battery backed up, and the four on the other side are just surge suppressed. So I had three devices plugged into it. Two of them were plugged into... He brings a spare heart, just in case. Yeah.
Just for the airfield later.
Yeah. I was going to say, where do we hook up the IV?
Right. Two of my devices, the two desktops, were plugged into the UPS side. And my Raspberry Pi was plugged into the surge suppress only side. Three times, the UPS glitched and rebooted only the ones on the... UPS side.
Which is weird, because that's the one that shouldn't when the power glitches.
So I decided I was going to buy a new one, and several people said, oh, you just need to replace the batteries. No, I think the problem is in the electronics, not in the battery.
And the battery is 75% the cost of the new.
But that's not the important part.
Yeah, but if it trips again and, you know, you get another surge or something it could take out the device.
I think that's what killed my first... the power supply in my old machine.
Yeah.
Well. Because what happened was my old machine died. The power supply died. And I thought, okay, I could buy a power supply for this, but it's an 8-year-old machine. And with the tariffs coming in, maybe I should look at buying a new machine. And I went and Lenovo had a deal on their, you know, the new models were coming out. It was new model year, and the old model year was 49% off. Yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take an i9 with 32 gig of RAM and a terabyte hard drive at 49% off. Thank you very much. Threw another 3 terabytes in there. Done.
I hope she's not listening, but we had a customer buy another Lenovo.
Yeah.
The sale was over, so we had to pay full price.
Jeez.
Today I got an email. The sale's back on.
Yeah.
But we've said before, though,
yeah.
Which you've always said, is, and we've had people call in, once a power strip pops, you throw it out.
Yep.
Because, yes, it saved me. Yes, now you got to throw it out. But it still works. No, it won't. Because you popped the breaker on that, and it protected you that
unless
one time.
Unless the breaker is resettable or replaceable, you toss that out. And the cheap ones you toss out, the more expensive ones, you usually have a switch.
Yep.
In this case, I thought, I just have to replace the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I bought a new power supply, because power supplies are cheap for the old machine, just to see what the hell maybe it'll work. It works. And I've got the new power supply, and so far, knock on wood, everything's working fine. I got the old machine running Olama for this dumbass AI talk I'm getting.
Did you see the report from Apple I sent you?
Yes.
Apple did a really cool research report. Usually, if you work at Apple, you can't publish anything.
You're right.
On what thinking machines really are not thinking.
Right.
I should post that here too. It'd be interesting if you're interested in LLMs and LRMs, a reasoning machine. So new acronyms.
Right. Explain what they are.
Large language model. An LLM is a large language model. Basically, what happens is when you get AI, it's not really I. It's certainly A, but it's not really I. What it is a giant model of information that it can search and make connections in. So it, the larger the language model, the more connections you can make, the better your information, essentially. Gemini, Copilot, all of those, Apple Intelligence, use ginormous models. And that's one of the problems we're having. Apple is building a new plant, and somebody else is building a new plant.
Microsoft is trying to bring Three Mile Island back online to pay for the power to run the computers to generate these models.
Well, exactly. And the real problem is that they are very expensive to run. They are, in terms of electricity, yes, but also in terms of water to cool them so that they don't blow up. Wyoming.
There's a lot of wind farms in Wyoming County.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat driving down, you know, 19 or 36 and seeing all the windmills on the wind turbines on the top of the mountain peaks.
Yeah, I forget who's building one, but somebody's building a data center in Wyoming that will eventually use more power than all the people in Wyoming. Now, Wyoming is the sparsest state, right? The least populated state, but even so, it's going to use way more energy than all the people in the state.
According to the data center map, there are 13 data centers in 4 markets for 7 customers in Wyoming.
Yep.
Most of them in Cheyenne. You know what else is in Cheyenne? The Stargate. You know how much power the Stargate needs to
Right.
Cheyenne, I want to go to Cheyenne Mountain Complex, even though the Air Force isn't there anymore. I want to take a picture of that tunnel. It's now used for document storage. It's like the Retsov salt mines. It's used for document storage because it's a constant temperature.
Yeah.
Constant temperature, constant humidity. It's perfect for long-term storage.
Well, I know Kodak uses part of that salt mine to store a lot of their films. Because a lot of the old acetate, if you were to bring it up now,
falling apart,
totally disintegrate. And, I mean, there's a lot of the old Charlie Chaplin movies and, you know, cinema way back before.
Because it's so dry.
Yeah. And the acetate then, they didn't put the gels in it like they learned back, I believe it was in the 40s, to use cow hides to put the gel, more of the gel in there to keep the acetate lubricated.
Right. Right. So, yeah, it's going to be in Cheyenne. It's a massive new AI data center. It require a lot more electricity than the whole rest of the state uses.
Probably go to solar. Out there, it's
who knows? Yeah, that would be good.
I mean, out there, you could set up a whole solar farm and just because the perfect place for it, you know, plenty of sun.
It's a joint venture between Tallgrass and Crusoe, which are two different companies, and it's projected to scale up to 10 gigawatts. 10 gigawatts, and all of Wyoming uses about 2.
Yep. Wow.
So
you'll see a big glow over that area.
I was about to say we should see the glow here in Rochester.
Yeah.
So, and I think I actually put the.
Well, we've got Ginay over there, so we've got a nuclear power plant.
Well, and that's the thing. Places like Rochester, which uses a lot of water. Generation and nuclear generation, our electricity costs are a lot lower than a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of places have moved here and moved their data centers here.
So we got Ginay on one side and we got Niagara Falls on the other side.
Yep. And our watt per hour charge is actually lower than a lot of other places. That's reaching better parity because a lot of places are putting in solar and wind, but we've been ahead of the curve for a very long time with a nuclear plant and with water hydropower.
The Ginna is the second oldest nuclear power reactor.
Yep.
Starting operation in 1970.
Yes. Yeah. And running like a top ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. But yeah, it's a long road, but we've benefited definitely by lower cost in a lot of other places. All right, we're going to take a quick break. That doesn't mean you can't give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Brian from Gates, New York on the line. What's up, Brian?
Not much, guys, but I'm looking out my back window to where my power supply that runs between the two rows of houses or above ground service, and I've had green light in my house for at least 5 years. 86. But they're coming through gates now and putting in new connections. My above ground power lines and my green light line is infested with grapevines.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holes, my entire line from one end of the property to the other has just been crowded with them. Well, the other day, a crew came down and ripped them all out. At least off the wall, the lines, cleared the telephone poles and everything. So I got this mess of vines and all that thing in my backyard that I have to clear, but I don't have any interruptions in my signal anymore.
Right, right, right. Anything that's a vine that gets on, you know, ivy or grapevines or, you know, any of those things, will choke a signal because they get so dense.
Right, right.
That it becomes a problem. And, you know, we used to have our lines replaced every couple of years because the squirrels would chew through them.
Squirrel!
So, yeah, it becomes an environmental issue. You know, it's not just your... you know, where do you live and how's your signal and yada, yada, yada. The big problem, I believe it's down south mainly, is kudzu.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So they have the same issue. But, you know, you could have just stopped using the internet and made wine instead.
True. The other thing is, it's not only is it dense, but it's also incredibly heavy.
Yes.
So stretching out the lines also.
Yeah, it'll pull them down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a real problem. So anybody out there who's looking at how cute those vines look starting to creep up the side of your house and head for your power lines, maybe you should think twice.
Yeah.
About letting them live.
We had some sort of vine crawling up a tree in the front yard and the lower limbs of the tree were all dead.
Yeah.
But the upper limbs are okay. Yeah. So the neighbor is a landscaper, and we said, what do we do with that? And he went over the tree and ripped the vines off.
Yeah, just pull them off. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have
on
to
another
do...
topic.
What?
On another topic, we were talking about water consumption and all like that for cooling.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I was in a five-day retreat given just to work about artificial intelligence in faith communities and how it could be used or not used and like that. The guy who was giving the presentation was incredibly knowledgeable. He was leaving where we were to go to Rome to work on the Vatican's approach to AI.
Interesting.
So the guy really knew his stuff, except for the water cooling.
Was it, what's his name, Robert, Padre S.J., he's the Vatican's IT guy.
You know, something like that, yes, that's the fellow. And, 5 days of talking like a machine gun, trying to cover all the
Robert Balasair.
No, it's a different guy.
Yeah, so he's in Rome itself right now.
Yeah. So they talked about, you know, using wind or whatever to cool the these big towers and banks of
Yep.
And I said, well, we happen to be in New Jersey for this. But they said, in the Finger Lakes, we've got one whole hot power plant down in Wyoming. It's sucking the light, the water out of the Finger Lakes there.
Yeah.
And it was raising the temperature of the Finger Lakes.
Yeah, because they're all connected underneath.
Yeah. So he said, well, he'd never heard about that whole idea that water ecology was being affected by these huge.
Massively so. Yeah. A lot of companies are talking about putting their data centers in, like, the Arctic or the Antarctic.
Yeah. That's what Dave was saying before. It's 80 in Anchorage. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But there are still, you go far up and up north, and you're going to have some. But then it's going to change the ecology there because of all the heat it generates.
Yep. There's a bunch. I'm just seeing some articles here. There's a bunch of smaller power stations around the country. There's a big one down in Cayuga that are closing down as a power generation station to the public and converting to a power generation station for a data center.
They can charge more.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You kiss your internet goodbye, and the cloud will suddenly rain and disappear.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, it's the reality is that we're using this power profligately, and we're going to reach a point where we have to make a decision. The climate and the ability to generate more power, and the water. Do we want to use the water for cooling those things or for drinking? And it isn't going to be both easily.
Yeah.
And then they talk about desalinating the ocean, but then that screws up the ocean environment.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, when are you getting large-scale changes like that?
So much Arctic ice has melted that it's already changing the salinity in the ocean, and we're seeing differences in animal life.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks.
Have a good time, guys.
Have fun.
Bye.
Yeah, it's... we don't understand, as humans, I mean, we deal with, 120 volts. We don't understand the multi-gigawatts of power that are needed to run AI. We think, okay, I'm gonna ask AI for this or for that. The power that it generates, the power that it requires to give you fast answers back.
Yeah, so much of our infrastructure we take for granted.
Yep.
You flip the switch, the light comes on. You turn the tap, the water comes on.
Yep. And that's, we've seen it here in Rochester. You've talked about it before, and we talked about it a little earlier. Because our electricity is lower in cost than many other places, we've had a lot of data centers here.
Yep.
And back when data centers meant a dozen servers, it was not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then data centers meant 50 gigantic machines with each running 8 or 10 graphic processing units in order to do cryptocurrency. That became a bigger deal. And now it's AI, which is another at least one magnitude, if not two or three, even bigger deal. So...
Have you ever seen, it's a long Mount Reed, and it's, I think, around Lexington to Ridgeway, the solar panel farm that's out that way?
I've seen a couple of them. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, that one is big.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even around Driving Park and goes all the way down towards the new Edison Tech. and that is huge. And I think it's for Delco. Part of it, you know, is their power source there for the automobile plant. But it is massive, and I think some of that extra power that it generates, you know, is going to back to the city, being sold back to the city. Let's face it, you know, even my wife, who's from Arizona, has seen a big change just in the 9 years that she's been here in our winters and our summers.
Yep.
I mean, because I talked to her about, you know, the days when we used to get blizzards. I mean, blizzards when school was canceled because of 3 or 4 foot snow.
Yep.
Not the snow right now. Which is super cold, which I can see not letting the kids out. But no, I'm talking about blizzards that you couldn't see 3 or 4 houses down the street.
You open your front door and you can see your front door.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
In the snow.
You can't get out of your house on the first floor.
Yeah.
We've seen that. A friend of mine has pictures. Now, he lived in Watertown. But he has pictures of them sledding out the second floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how they got out of the house. Yeah. You couldn't get.
I think it was the winter of 65. We lived on Denice Road, and we had a big picture window. And I remember one morning getting up, we couldn't see out the picture window. We had to go upstairs and look out my parents' and sister's bedroom to see out and how bad it was, because the drift was that bad right on out to our curb. You couldn't get out there.
When I was a child in the 50s, I'm old. I was a Catholic school student, a GCB, a good Catholic boy. And on May Day, we would troop over to church for Mass in the morning. And all the girls wore lovely new May Day dresses and were always really angry because on May 1st, they had to wear their winter coats and boots because we had snow on the ground.
Yep.
And you know, we don't think of that now, and we think, oh, there's no climate change. I'm sorry. It happened in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And the amount of snow that we're not seeing versus right now, the heat.
Yeah.
Look at down Tennessee just this past week, and down Jersey, the flooding, the flash flooding. Hello, that's not normal. Subways were getting flooded out. Some of the trains, they showed pictures. People had to stop and be pulled off because the tunnel was actually flooded.
Yeah.
I remember.
Once a century floods are now happening every year.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I remember 30 years ago when I was at Kodak, they had signs and posters all over saying, please turn your monitor off at night. Back when you had big CRT monitors.
Yeah,
right.
We can save $500,000 on electric costs. Just turn your monitor off.
Yeah.
You leave your computer on.
Yep.
Turn your monitor off.
Everywhere's
so
crazy. Yeah.
Power's been a problem for a long time.
Well, and with solar, we're seeing that, you know, it, depending on where you live and all of that, there's a company that called SmartFlower that actually puts a giant solar panel thing that opens up into the sun and closes up at night. It's a little
looks like a flower.
Looks like a flower, and it will power your home with electricity. Now, $35,000.
Yeah, well, it's
but
just,
you know, it exists, and it's version one. You're right. Version two will cost $20,000. Version three will cost $5,000.
It's the same with the right now with roofing. They've got now. So instead of shingles in it, they're actually solar panels that go on both sides. It looks like shingles, and they can do your both sides of the house, so both for the summer and winter, you know,
the sun is beating down on it. Right, and the other thing is, it used to be that solar panels were 10% efficient.
Mm-hmm.
They're up to like 35 or 40% efficient, the last I looked.
And they're throwing out some major power on small units.
A friend of mine who lives down in the southern tier runs his entire home on solar. He's got a giant solar farm out in his backyard. It runs his shop. It runs his home.
Mm-hmm.
It runs his wife's car.
Yeah.
And he doesn't pay for... He pays... The company that He puts electricity into the system.
Yep. Pays back. You know?
And he's got giant batteries in the basement for at night, and et cetera, et cetera. And it works great.
So then we have to work on the recycling aspects of when the solar panels wear out.
Yeah, but they're getting. There's a guy in ham radio right now. Probably it's about half the size of paper, right?
Yeah.
And he's got these little solar panels. This, you know, half of this paper. And he puts three of them together to form a triangle. And he puts it, hooks it up to a balloon. And it's for weather and all that and tracking signals. And he's got one up there right now that's running on those three little panels because it's all about weight. And we're talking grams.
Yeah.
It has to be a certain gram because the balloons will go up there. He's had one up there for over a year and a half now, circling the Earth and just sending signals back now for over a year and a half just off those little panels. And they're thin as all hell.
You can buy a set of panels that you can put on your dashboard to charge devices.
Yeah. I've seen those. Set it right out.
Right, while you're driving or whatever.
We got my son for Christmas a couple of years ago, like a 24 by 36 inch solar panel for camping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Charges up his lights
during
the day.
And runs them at night. Back in the day, it was either Coleman lanterns or you went somewhere with a pole.
Yeah. Now
it doesn't matter. You got solar. As long as you're not under the trees, you're good.
I used to bring 200 feet of extension cord and run it to the grandparents' house across the creek, through the woods, and up to the house to get power down to the camping site.
Yep.
My cousins were always jealous because we had the big tent and we had the outdoor canopy. And we brought lounge chairs, and I had the TV and the projector up so we could watch movies while we're camping. So we were glamping 40 years ago.
Glamping, yeah. But yeah, the solar panels are becoming more efficient and less expensive and smaller.
Oh yeah.
And so you know they're available now in more places. You can get solar chargers for your phone that you can carry around. So you go to the beach, set it up.
Yeah,
it's basically a little panel, plug it in, you're done.
Yeah. Well, the panels, what you got to do is you got to get an inverter, which you can buy this kit.
Yeah, but you buy the whole kit.
Yeah, but it's that, and then you get a simple, a 36 amp hour battery that you hook this inverter to, then your panels, boom, that thing charges. You're good for a long time.
Yep.
I was on the road a lot this week, and I've got my phone as my GPS attached to the dashboard. It kept turning off the screen because it was too hot, and a couple of times it shut down because it was too hot sitting up there.
Yeah,
so I had to put it down in the cubby. And my watch will tick left and right depending on what I have to turn, but I don't quite tell the difference between left and right.
Yeah, right. Now don't for the. Rocket launches. Don't you guys have solar chargers out there?
For the airplane, we do.
For the airplane?
Yeah.
Well, for when I go out to do my ham radio, it's literally an old ammo box that I did up, and I've got this big 36 amp hour battery in it. And it looks like an old car battery type of thing. And then I can hook it up to the solar panels, and that powers both my my radio, which is pushing out 100 watts. I can hook up the I also have a connector to keep my laptop charged and my cell phone.
Yeah, sure. And you can do all that with solar.
And I'm out there for 2-3 hours, you know, just enjoying the sun and everything else. And the sun's also turning around, charging that back up for me.
Yep. And yes, you're going to pay for the devices to initially, but at that point,
they've come down a lot cheaper,
and they're a lot cheaper than they used to be. But yeah, the smartflower.com is the place that has the home things, and they look great. I mean, they look like a sculpture. You know, they're very cool. Not cheap yet. not cheap yet, but cool.
So when your kids inherit the house, they won't have to pay much for electricity.
Well, exactly.
You'll have paid it off by then.
Well, our problem in our house is that we've got a lot of trees.
Yeah,
you get a
My
forest.
Daughter does not.
Mm-hmm.
She did. She cut a few of them down because they were dangerous. They were dangerous. So she could do it. We could put them on our garage.
I read a story where a homeowner calls up the solar company and said, "Yeah, I've moved. Can you move the solar panels to my new house?" And they said, "No."
No.
And then he's, can you send the electricity to my house, my new house instead? No.
That's not how it works. They also now have, in Japan, they have solar windows. They're regular windows you can see through, but they also generate electricity from the sun.
Hmm.
No idea what they cost or how they work or how efficient they are or anything else about them, but they've got them. And again, you know, generation one you laugh at, but generation three is everywhere and you never think about it again.
Ironically enough, at solarwindow.com.
There you go.
But the thing of it is, though, coming from Japan, you don't laugh at that anymore. Back in the days in the 50s and all that, we always used to think of Japan as cheap junk.
Cheap junk.
Now it's high-tech technology.
Yep.
They really got their act together, and as far as the industry, as far as electronics, they kick butt.
High-speed trains, this kind of solar technology, they've got it all.
Well, look at the new TVs, the OLEDs.
Yep.
I mean, you look at one of those TVs, you know, especially the 4K.
Yeah.
Holy crud. You get up to there, and it's like you can see every pore or the colors just pop out. You think they're almost going to come out the screen.
Yeah, my wife does not want a 4K television.
I keep going by it, and the wife goes, "Not yet. They're too expensive."
That was the problem with the Linus Tech Tips 2,000-inch TV. You had to stand back 50 feet so you didn't see the pixels.
Well, exactly.
But it's a 2,000-inch TV.
Yeah.
But, you know, 4K TV, you can see the pores.
Yep.
I don't want to see the pores.
Yeah.
Well, and part because one of the problems we're seeing is there's a catch-22. There's not much 4K content.
Right.
Because not many people had 4K TVs.
Right.
So there's not much 4K content.
I remember having a discussion years ago with somebody who bought one of those 3D TVs. Remember those?
Yep.
For an hour.
Yeah. They said, "Oh, it's the greatest thing I ever bought." I said, "What do you watch on it?" "Well, there's an aquarium."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay, good for you. Thanks. There's an aquarium.
They just never caught on.
Yeah.
Well, until you can do 3D without the glasses.
Well, and until you can do 3D without being in one specific spot on your couch.
Yeah. You can't move around
much. You move left or right, and you lose the 3D-ness of it. And now, you know, now they're talking about volumetric televisions, where it's like it is in science fiction. You get a box, a square box, and inside the box you see people moving around.
Hmm.
And right now, that's so
like the old big CRT
proof of concept.
Yeah, the old big CRT televisions, where it happens in 3D, inside that giant furniture case.
Yeah, exactly.
TVs used to be furniture.
Exactly right. And now, you know, you can get that volumetric 3D. I don't think that's what it's called. But the idea is that you can it's like, you know, what you see in science fiction. Little people walking around on a table, but it's not anywhere near ready for prime time. It's not good, and it's very, 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 very expensive. And apparently uses military-grade lasers. So you're not going to see a lot of that in the home anytime soon. But yeah, technology is moving fast. Whether it's AI or televisions, and all we're all just hanging on, you know, keep your arms and legs inside the ride, and we'll all get there together in the end. We'll see what happens as we go along, but we'll be here, you know, for as long as we can. to guide you along and to make fun of it as we go along. We're going to take this is the end of the first hour. The whole first hour of this show is gone now. It's in the history books, and that's okay, because there's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, and a whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole nother hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 800-790-0415. This is a slightly longer break, but don't go too far. There's lots of important information being sent your way over the airwaves, and we will see you in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. While you do that, I will read the news. On Monday, Microsoft reminded customers that the last supported editions of Windows 11 22H2 will reach their end of servicing on October 14th. Same date as Windows 10 goes off service, by the way. The October 2025 monthly security update will be the last available for this version. After this date, devices running this version will no longer receive monthly security and preview updates containing protections from the latest security threats, Microsoft said. So if you've been putting off that next update, don't worry. To help keep you protected and productive, I quote, protected and productive, Microsoft does their Windows update will automatically initiate a feature update for Windows 11 consumer devices and non-managed business devices as they have reached end of servicing, whether you like it or not. Speaking of upgrades, some users are saying that they've been offered upgrades to Windows 11 on older PCs that don't meet the TPM 2.0 hardware requirement. Microsoft hasn't announced anything official about lowering the system requirements for Windows 11, but this isn't the first time the company's offered Windows 11 upgrades on incompatible computers that don't meet the requirements. It's highly likely that this is a bug, so don't get excited. Microsoft is discontinuing support for its Windows 11 SE variant. Bet you didn't even know they had one. Meant to compete with Chrome OS, he snickered, in the education space, leading schools that chose Microsoft over Google in the lurch just 4 years after the cloud-based Windows variant was released. This isn't much of a surprise, since Chrome OS is a massive hit with education, and Windows 11 SE, well, isn't. It appears Microsoft has shifted tactics in the education market. Instead of trying products that could compete with Chromebooks, Microsoft is trying to convince schools that the full version of Windows 11 is great for educational users and is definitely what they want. Good luck with that. Microsoft has used a variety of tricks to convince people to keep using the defaults of Bing and Microsoft Edge in Windows over the years, including modifying Chrome download sites and using malware-like pop-ups. And doing the are you sure? Do you really? Are you really? Seriously? You mean what? What now? Which is a lot like trying to cancel a subscription.
Yeah.
Now Opera is fed up with what it calls Microsoft's manipulative design tactics and has filed a competition complaint in Brazil on Tuesday, alleging that Microsoft is using anti-competitive practices to steer people toward using Edge. Opera filed its complaint in Brazil because that's one of the company's main markets. If you're not fed up with us, give us a call from wherever you are, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
So is this different than the Windows S versions there were that limited to the App Store?
Yes. There are many versions of Windows that have been destroyed and died and abandoned over the years.
I still like Wince. Windows CE. WinCE.
Right.
For their phones.
Wince and Windows SE and Windows S. And SE was designed to be the Chromebook killer.
Mm-hmm.
It ran on those little... and I don't know what happens to those little laptops now that only run Windows SE.
Put Chrome on it.
Chrome OS Flex on it now. But yeah, so there were a lot of issues that Microsoft never bothered to address. You know, it was really an also ran from the beginning, and anybody who's got it now is what's the word I'm looking for? Screwed. That's the one. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Roman from Rochester, New York. What's up, Roman?
Yeah, just maybe continuing the conversation about Windows 10 and the fact that Microsoft is going to stop supporting it on the 14th. I actually saw something on PC Mag's website, and it does say you can extend the security updates by the extended security updates, the ESU program, which provides critical and important security updates and stuff like that.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Okay, I missed your show last week, so I just saw this week.
Yeah.
Actually, that has changed, too.
Will this basically allow me, who's running Windows 10 on my PC, and then again, when I tested these, the operating system, it is not upgradable to 11.
Right.
I'm paying $30. Can I get another year of operation out of it?
You don't have to pay the $30.
Yeah, so that's what changed last week. You could pay the $30 to get another year, $60 to get 2 years, and... Then
$120
on the third year. Now they've taken that off and extended it to 1 year for everybody for free.
Well, except that it's not exactly free. You still have to get it. And the way you get it is you can still pay the $30, or you can use your Bing reward points. What are Bing?
That is correct. Right. There's two options that they provided in addition to paying the $30. I'm on PC Mag's website now.
Right.
There's a link in our in the show notes a couple of weeks back that I posted to the Microsoft page to figure out if you have enough Bing points.
Right, and getting Bing points is real easy. Use the Edge browser and do searches. And apparently it doesn't matter what you search for. So you could search for ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? You get Bing points to search for ice cream. Search for each.
And then you can redeem. And then you redeem those points for ESU program.
ESU, Extended Service Unit or something.
Right.
But yeah,
extended
service
security updates.
Yeah, and that gives you security updates for a year. Note that it only gives you security updates.
No feature updates or bug fixes.
Right. So if there's a bug in Windows 10. That isn't a security bug, they will not fix it.
Okay, but realistically, could the machine get a bug after October the 15th?
Yeah, absolutely. They could discover a bug that's been in Windows for 20 years. We've seen those before, and they will not fix that.
Didn't they fix an XP bug a couple years ago?
Yes, they did, as a matter of fact.
Because it was so bad. Who's using XP? ATMs.
ATMs still use it. But the point here is that if a bug is found, and they are found regularly, they will not be fixed. You will only get security updates. Now, you can if Windows 10 is running for you, great. You can hope that any bugs they find will not affect you. And that's, you know, that's part of the crapshoot that you're doing to extend your Windows another year.
But I understand.
Sorry?
I said I understand.
Yeah. They are Microsoft is truly uninterested in you keeping Windows 10. In fact, they are vehemently against it. So they are not going to help you do that. Well, in fact, they are helping you do that. The whole point of this year's extension is that people just aren't moving, and they're giving them another year to get their little acts together and move off 10. Whether people
so
actually...
The three of you guys doing the show there, what do you recommend? Are you unanimous with upgrading and buying a new PC that operates Windows 11?
Oh, heck no.
None of us run Windows, period.
You're right. None of us run Windows. Dave does.
Let me rephrase it. What would you recommend to people that do run Windows machines? What would you recommend in your professional opinion?
If you are happy with Windows as an operating system, and there are really many reasons to be happy with Windows as an operating system, then you need to start looking for a machine, a new computer, that will run Windows 11.
That can handle it.
Unless you bought your Windows 10 machine in the last couple of years. But the problem is, even a machine, you know, Windows 10 machine you bought this year may not have enough oomph in it to run Windows 11.
No, I've got one that I bought to replace one of my, and it does not qualify to run Windows 11.
Yep.
Right, and that's one of them, which I'm not worried about because that's one that's just for my ham room.
Okay, regular computer though. We hear this all the time.
No, my regular computer though is a Linux. I mean, I've gone Linux.
I'm aware of you guys are big fans of the Linux operating system.
Right,
but
so you can replace Windows 10, an old machine. You can replace Windows 10 with Linux if that's something you want to do. So your third choice, which is to buy a completely different operating system, buy a Mac, right, and run that instead. And then your fourth choice is to go commando. And, you know, the reality is that you will get hit. I mean, we already know that there are thousands and thousands of hackers just waiting for Windows 10 to go off support.
They're drooling.
There was just a Security Now episode. They called it Internet Foreground Radiation. There are automated bots scanning for open ports and scanning for services they can attack every day. So security company put up a honeypot and didn't advertise it anywhere, didn't tell anyone it exists, and there's thousands of requests.
I put up a new machine at RIT. A brand new machine on a brand new IP address. The very first entry in the log was somebody trying to break in.
Yep.
Now, they were using a Windows exploit, and I was building a Linux box, so I just left and moved on. But that just shows you how serious they are. And so running Windows 10 past the security updates is a really, really bad idea.
And the bad guys don't have to target you.
They're targeting everybody.
They target everybody,
But the one thing that we've been encouraging...
Okay, go ahead.
One of the things that we have been encouraging, the three of us, is, you know, all right, go out and get yourself your Windows 11 box so you can continue doing that and get, you know, stay comfortable. But as a side note, you take that old box and put Linux on it and start learning Linux because Windows is, you know, they've got to come up with more creative ways to make money for the shareholders. And the only way they can do it, though, is through, like Nick has been saying, eventually it is going to be subscription.
And the problem for people is Windows 11 looks a little different than Windows 10.
Yeah.
You're going to have to learn a little bit if you upgrade to Windows 11. We often say it's like getting a new car. You know, what side is the gas cap on? How do you program the radio? Little niggly things. Mm-hmm. Overall, it works about the same way the old one did. But it's going to be different enough to be annoying for most people, and people don't like change, so they don't want to upgrade.
in a nutshell, how easy is it to install a Linux operating system into a PC that's running Windows 10, and what are the steps? Is it possibly listed somewhere on your website for Soundbites?
It is not at the moment. I'm working on that.
Yeah.
I am working on that.
No, folks, he was not baited to say that.
Is it going to be like just brain surgery? I mean, is this going to be an 8-hour process?
No, it's a 15-minute process.
Yeah.
You have to burn a thumb drive, and there is a program that will help you do that called Balena Etcher. And and Rufus, and there's like a million of those. And once you do that, you boot up using that thumb drive, and you're in Linux. Now, it's going to run real slow because it's running off the thumb drive. But one of the icons on the desktop will be install this.
Mm-hmm.
You double-click that, and then it says, okay, do you want to run this alongside Windows, or do you want to erase Windows? You choose. And then it says, do you want to run a desktop or a server? And you choose. And then you hit OK, and you wait.
One thing, though, I would encourage you to do before you do that is go to YouTube. There are many different flavors of Linux. And you can see, watch these YouTube videos that talk about the different flavors and find the one that you like. Because you can get one that looks like Windows. You can have one that's very Linux-y look to it, and also a Mac look. So you can have the best of three worlds, you know, which one you want to pick from.
Yeah, there's
just a little time and effort, though.
There's a new one that I've downloaded and haven't started to play with yet called Linux FX, which looks exactly like Windows.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly like it.
I'll take a look at that on YouTube. The other thing is this. Many credit cards, including one of my credit cards currently, they do offers. In other words, if you buy something at this merchant and pay with one particular credit card, they will give you X number of dollars off. Well, one of my credit cards right now until August the 11th says you buy something from Dell.com that costs $600 or more, including tax, they'll knock off $100 on your credit card.
Holy moly. Go now. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Collect $100. Go.
Yeah, that is one of the options, one of the offers that expires on August the 11th. Yep.
Yeah, go. You've got a week. Go.
And one thing, though, if you're going to go for the new system, make sure you get enough memory, video card, and hard drive.
Yeah, just because it can run Windows 11 doesn't mean it's going to run it well. So you want
or run anything else other than the OS.
Right. You would
prefer. Final words are yours. What are the recommendations that you prefer for somebody who's not a gamer? This is not going to be a lot of high speed gaming.
Right. All right. So I prefer an i7 processor or better.
Yep.
I prefer.
Okay.
I prefer 16 gig of RAM or more, and I prefer an SSD, and I prefer at least a terabyte.
Okay.
The only other caveat I would recommend, too, is if you're getting a desktop unit, is a independent graphics card. Don't rely on the one that's built into the motherboard. That takes away from the memory that's on the machine. You can get really nice, inexpensive graphics card, like you say, you're not a gamer, so you can get one that, you know, will help make this whole experience faster.
And unless you move your computer around, get a desktop, not a laptop.
Yep.
That's what I'm looking to do.
Yeah, because you pay a premium to be able to move it around. If you're not going to move it around, why pay that premium? Put the money into your RAM or your hard drive or your processor.
Or a bigger screen.
Yeah, well, you're going to need a screen and a keyboard and a mouse, but he's probably already got those.
Yeah, but get a bigger one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, are we good?
All right, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Roman. Good luck. Let us know what you get.
Thank you.
Yep. I got to say, my new computer, I'm seeing things I never saw before.
Uh-oh.
I have, well, I'm still running X Ubuntu. And it's set up exactly the same way it was on my old machine. My new machine is a much nicer graphics card. So one of the things I've noticed, for example, is that when when a window gets unfocused, it gets
pushed
lighter,
to the back?
So you can see, no, so you can see through it.
Oh.
It gets transparent.
Oh, nice.
Which apparently was happening on the old machine.
But you
my
didn't
old
see
machine it. Had such a crappy graphics card, I never saw it.
Well, that's why, you know, I have for years preached, you know, well, gamers, that's not even an issue. But
right.
For average folks, you don't have to spend, you know, $1,000. For, you know, $100 to $200, you can get some really nice graphic card that'll kick butt.
That's what mine was, a couple $100.
Yeah, and it, I mean, they knocked the socks off for, you know, watching videos or anything else on the internet.
Yep. Yeah, there's a whole, yeah. And I've been struggling with how best
Frank?
To help people install Linux. That. And the question is, do I do a class on Mastermind Lounge? Do I just post a YouTube video? God knows there's a billion YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. But people have questions. People have questions. They like live. So I'm tending toward Mastermind Lounge.
Yep.
Whether it's a free class or a $5, a $10 class, whatever it is. And then I will just show people how to install Linux and then have, you know, Linux 101, Linux 201, Linux...
So,
301, as you do more and more Linux.
Yeah, talk about getting a bigger monitor. One of the websites I read, they have a setup thing where people send in their setups.
I think this is Dave.
So how many monitors is too much? He's got twin 57-inch curved monitors stacked on top of each other. Whoa. And twin 32-inch monitors on each side. That might be too much monitor.
Uh-oh. You think? No, not for me. It wouldn't.
I posted the link. So. 57-inch, the Samsung Odyssey Neo G9 curved gaming monitor.
See, you know, people think...
So I played my flight sim. My boss has a curved monitor, so I played the flight sim on that. But I've seen some setups where they have three curved monitors.
Yeah.
So you get a 180 view.
Oh, yeah.
Which is real nice for flight sims.
No, what I suffer from, and so does Nick, I know, is, you know, you can have these extra monitors. What the nice feature about it is getting older, that print
gets
a lot smaller. So when I'm running these programs, yeah, I've got four monitors all stacked nicely, and I use all four because the programs, you know, I'm sitting back at this desk, I like to print a little bit bigger.
Yep.
So I could actually see it and not sit there and squint like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, what I like about this is it's a small screen, but it's only 1380 by whatever. So the tech. Also, my new laptop is this. Oh, yes, I got a new laptop. We can talk about that later.
What?
In the meantime, we'll go and talk to Ken from Rochester, New York. Hi, Ken. What's up?
Hi, guys. You're all sounding robust, which makes my heart feel warm. I'm glad you're all doing well.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm peachy. Isn't that nice? I get to say peachy. And you... That makes my day.
Okay. Good for you. Makes mine, too, by the way.
Yeah. I went out looking for a PDF to Word converter. And I found a program that I really thought was going to work well for me. I use a lot of old operating systems from XP.
Sound bites, please.
Like 8. The name of the company, I'm going to just give you the letters because I'm not certain how to pronounce it. AISEESOFT. That's the name of the company.
AISEE.
Mm-hmm. And then soft, S-O-F-T.
Oh, soft.
AIC soft. Right. Best converter. They have a video converter, too.
Now,
I guess they sell a few things, but what's troubling to me is I got it, and actually you can download it and not even buy it. And I did try it. And it did give me the same error message I got after I purchased it, which I thought odd. And I emailed support to make sure that it gives the specs for XP, which I had. but I wanted to make sure I could run it without having my XP machine connected to the web. I want to download it and be able to run it and use it on that machine. Yeah, sure, you should be able to do this, not a problem. Well, I got the same error message. The error message is runtime error, and then in quotations it's got @2:801. Could not call PROC.
Could not call what? PROC.
It's an abbreviation for process, I think. It's PROC.
Oh, could not call PROC. Okay. Okay. And that's the error code, @:801.
Yes. 2:801.
@2:801?
Yeah. Well, it's the word at, then the number 2, then a colon, then the number 801.
AT2801. Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that particular piece of software, I'm afraid. But what it sounds like is it's something in the application itself.
Okay.
And you said you're running XP. Are you sure this version is compatible with XP?
Yeah, the website has like 3 prerequisites, 512 RAM. I forget what the CPU is. There was like 3 different prerequisites in it, and I was fine with that. So what I did was I emailed back support with a picture of the runtime error, and then I gave them my system properties from Control Panel, which showed, I have Service Pack 3 for XP, and they only said Service Pack 2. And also as well as the megahertz and so on, and the amount of RAM. And they emailed back, well, did you get this error after you installed it or when you were installing it? So I emailed them back, said when I was installing it, and they emailed back, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to help you with this. So I'm in the middle of getting a refund. So I'm really caught in between places. What I would like you guys to help me with is...
Okay, gotta hang on. Hang on.
Okay.
We gotta take a hard break, but hang on. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Ken from Rochester, New York, and you. It is 30 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on the truly great... And truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported. Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Ken from Rochester, New York on the line. You there, Ken?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Let me remind myself. You're running XP, and it is not connected to the Internet.
That is correct.
Okay. Do the people at AEIU Soft know this?
Yes, prior to purchasing, I downloaded it, tried running it, got this error. Assumed to myself, this needs to be connected to the web. It's probably got to validate itself or something. So I sent support an email, and I asked them that. I want to buy this software. It looks great. Can you tell me, do I have to have my XP machine connected to the Internet in order to install this? And they said, no, you should be fine, as long as it met the prerequisites, which it did. At that point, I downloaded it and found that it did exactly the same when I downloaded the free version, and then went on from there.
So there's a couple of things that could be happening. It could be an unsupported API call because it is, in fact, trying to call back to the home, the mothership.
Okay.
For something. Your XP system may not have updated certificates or an updated system file that is specifically required by the AIC software, AC soft, I don't care. Or the download could have been damaged. That's not an impossibility. So the troubleshooting steps I would recommend are run the system file checker on Windows XP, and that command at the command line is SFC for system file checker space / scan now, all one word.
Okay.
So SFC space / SCANNOW. And that should check for and repair any corrupted files, system files.
Okay.
It may want your system disk back to load the clean file from.
Right. Are you installing this program as an administrator?
Yes.
Okay. And then.
Do you have any antivirus running?
No.
In that case, I would suggest you run a full system scan.
Dance a tango.
To check for any malware. You know, run malware bytes and all of that.
And trying to find programs that still work on XP is going to be tough.
Well, yeah. Yes, but it may be that you've got something lurking that's preventing it.
Especially that old viruses. I mean.
Right. Mm. Right.
Well, it may be helpful to let you know that the original download, first thing, the original download of the free version, just to try it, is not the one I ran to install it. I downloaded it off the link that they gave me, so it's two different applications.
Okay.
The second thing, I tried it on my 8.1 machine, and it gave me exactly the same error. So it's possible I had some form of issues on both machines.
Well, that's a good thing to have done. So that leads me to think that there's either a bad download,
mm-hmm.
or the software just doesn't work well. I'm sorry, but
maybe try a different one.
You know, that's
okay. Now the current version of Word can open PDFs and convert it into editable text.
Right. The current version, not the version that runs on XP.
I don't know how far back that was.
Right. Who knows? You can certainly give it a try. But sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that I'm running Word 2003. It's not robust enough to do what you're describing.
Can't hurt to try it.
Yeah, no. There is one last thing you can do for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys must have favorites for a PDF Word, something that I don't have to connect to the internet and do all whatever. I just want to be able to run a program like the old days. I want to download it. I want to run it. I want to pay for it. Period.
Fox it.
End of story. What's that?
Fox it.
Fox it?
Yep.
Dave? F-O-X?
I-T.
Yep. And the Adobe Reader is free as well.
That doesn't convert to Word,
does it? First.
Check out Foxit, because I think that still might work with the older versions of Windows.
Okay. I will do that. If you think of any others, you know, say it during the show. And one last question. Nick, you mentioned, now you got me, you've got my attention, just because of what you said. There's this, I've tried a bunch of Linuxes, and I have no problems with it, Linux and per se. But you said there's a new version.
Yeah.
What was the name of that?
XF.
It was like Windows.
Linux XF.
XF. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I do a search for that, I can find it.
I'm sorry. I did that completely backwards. It's Linux FX.
Okay.
Like I said, I've downloaded it. I have not played with it.
yet.
Mm-hmm. Yet, but it...
Since he's got a new laptop that he didn't tell us about.
Yeah, I did. I do. But yeah, so it runs... Linux FX is running some pretty new stuff. It's at... it used to be called Winux, W-I-N-U-X. In fact, now it is, I believe it is now called Winux.
Yeah, that's what it's redirecting me to.
Yeah. They've changed it. They've had to change the name. All right, they had to change the name. It's called Winux, W-I-N-U-X, OS.org, WinuxOS.org.
I think I'll give that a peek.
Yeah, take a look. It looks exactly like Windows 11, and if you don't like Windows 11, you can make it look like Windows 10. I don't think you can make it look like XP, but you can go back to 10 at least.
No, I have to smile when you say that because I remember back when when it came out. You know, supposedly that was going to be the forever version of Windows 10.
Right.
Yeah, and I had people telling me who are authorized Microsoft, whatever, and I'm just like, fellas, there's no money in that unless there's got to be a way they make money. You can't just say this is it and we're calling it a day and right off into the sunset because they'll shut down.
Right.
But he was under the assumption, based on what they told him, that this is it. We're just going to support this.
Forever.
So,
yep.
Well, it makes your model of support per year you pay.
Right.
Logical.
Well, what they discovered is people don't pay. If they don't come out with a new version, people don't pay.
How silly is that?
Well, I agree with you 100%. Anyway, there you go. Try Winux and see if you like it.
All right, sir. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Nice. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
There's a quote from Steve Gibson, a recent podcast. I can't wait until November for when Microsoft stops messing with Windows 10. Just leave it alone. I like it the way it is.
Except it's just not going to be updatable.
Not going to be updatable, yep.
But this Winux looks actually pretty cool. Like I said, I have not played with it yet. I realize that's a shock, but it's... it looks pretty cool. It looks exactly like Windows 11 or Windows 10. You choose. It seems they say it runs a bunch of stuff that Windows will run. So we'll see. I'll be playing with it just to take a look.
Did you say it'll run Windows programs?
It's got
That's
Wine
what they say.
Pre-installed.
It's got Wine pre-installed.
Oh.
It'll also apparently run Power Tools. And the App Store and Android apps.
Yeah, because setting some of that stuff up in Wine, the older versions, was a pain in the butt.
That's why there's a commercial company, Crossover, that will sell you a version of Wine with all the installers ready for you.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dwayne from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, Nick, I have a laptop with Ubuntu 20.04. And the LTS is no longer under support. So I'm making a plan to upgrade to 24.04 LTS. And I have heard that it's better to do a new full install rather than do the in-place upgrade using the package manager. Did you agree with that it's best to do a new install rather than try to have it upgrade the existing version?
Yes. With the following caveat, if you've made a bunch of changes to your system and you've got multiple terabytes of data that you've put into the machine, then do the upgrade, do the incremental upgrades. But if you've been playing with it and you don't have a lot invested in terms of documents that you've written and stuff like that, where you could just back everything up a couple of times and then do the new install, I would say do the new install.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to take a look and see how much personal data and stuff like that I would have to move
right
before I would you know, basically wipe the disk doing a new install.
Exactly. And by the way, two backups minimum.
Definitely, definitely.
All right.
Yeah. Now, I've already made a list of all my applications, so I have a guide to reinstalling them if I need to. I heard in the past you mention, I think, Linux software that would record or document the apps installed and then perhaps automate them getting reinstalled. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. And now I'm trying to remember frantically what it's called.
Okay.
But there is a D package will do that.
D package?
What version of Linux are you running?
I'm running 20.04 LTS. And
no, well, I'm sorry, Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Okay.
Ubuntu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then there is a D package command, and of course I can't. I'll have to find it and post it. I've got it on my machine at home.
That's great. Yeah.
But what I do is
the app, whatever.
Yeah, what I do is every night actually, I make a list of all the programs that are installed in my machine, and then back up that list. And then when I got my new machine, I did this. I took that list and said, go, I want them. And it installed all those programs for me.
I mean, okay, so your nightly backup then is using this D package?
Well, it's one of the many, many things I back up. I spent 20 years as a systems administrator, so I got paid to be paranoid.
Sure.
And so... One of the many things I back up is the list of installed packages. So that, like I said, when I got my new machine, I just took that list and told dpackage, go, I want all these. And it made all those packages. Now, it doesn't put them on the desktop where I used to have them. Right, I still have to do that part. But they're all installed.
I agree. Well, if I do a complete new install on top of the old, I would take any help I could get on getting all the apps back on.
Yeah, of course.
How will I
get that to people? I'll add it somewhere to the link list later on today when I get home.
All right, I'll be looking for that.
But I won't get home till 4 or 5, so don't get excited.
Well. I'm not going to be doing the update this afternoon either.
Right.
So don't worry.
Okay. But I will do that. And there are, like I said, it's part of the install. And if you have snaps, you can do it with your snaps as well. Ubuntu uses a lot of snaps. So, it's really two separate sets of programs that do it. And I will post both of those on our, list. I'll make a page and point to it.
I'll point out that I realized that my 2004 was no longer under support because I went to update my Flatpaks and Flatpak said I can't connect to the server holding the repositories, and I thought that's strange. So I actually brought up the repository URL and it was a 403. And I said, now that's even stranger. So I Googled around, and it said, if you ask Flatpak for updates to 2004, it will not have them because it's no longer under support.
Yep.
So, you know, expected once you are, you know, hit with it, expected.
Yep. No, I get that. I will put those online. It's just a couple of commands, and then you end up with some text files, and you save out. Obviously, you save those text files somewhere where they won't get erased when you do the upgrade, and then you bring them back and point the program to them and say, those are the programs I want installed. Go.
Good. Yeah. I already have Excel spreadsheets with all the stuff that I have under Snap and Flatpak, so... those guide me as to what I would have to do with those.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks for the help.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Now you've given me homework, so thank you.
Good for me.
And I mean that in the nicest way. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we'll do that when I get home. All right.
A lot of times getting a new computer is the opportunity to not copy all your old apps.
Right, just the two
or three you really need and all the rest of them.
But, no, I get it. My old machine, you know how long it took me to set it up exactly the way I wanted it? And I wanted the new machine to be the same. Doggone it.
Yep.
And so I did that. That's what I did. And it was easy. So I just have to, I just don't, I made it a cron job, which means that it runs every morning at 3 a.m. is when I set it to run. So it saves that, and then that gets backed up with all my other stuff at 4 a.m. And so I don't remember how to do it, because once I researched how to do it, I wrote a program and then forgot about it automatically.
Don't clutter your mind up with things you can look up.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Rochester, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hi, guys. You were talking about how you should do your Linux class.
Yeah.
I found I'm as you know, I'm battling trying to get Linux up and running. The YouTube stuff, the guys talk too fast, and I lose it really bad. So I would think that if you can do it as a live class, it's probably better. I'm finding that the using Gemini, asking my questions and letting it tell me how to program, then I can go in and read it and do it, and it actually, I don't screw it up that way.
Yeah, for most people, for a lot of people at least, live learning is better.
I think so.
Right, because you can stop and say, I didn't get that, can you go back over it, or I have a clarification question, or whatever, which you cannot do on a static video.
Yeah. If you want to get,
I mean, the chat lounge Sunday nights has been invaluable. You guys have been helping me a lot, and I really do appreciate that.
Good.
If you want to get really fancy about it, go to like Makerspace and do a hands-on, and people bring in their computers, and you do it right then.
That's step two, and that's not a bad one. I got a call. Is it Dave from Makerspace? He offered to give me a tour, and that's just when I was getting my knees done and everything else. So I put him off. I will get back to him as soon as things settle down in the lower 40.
Then you can branch it onto a business and go around to like community centers.
Yeah. Yep. But then I have to actually talk to real people.
Yeah, people, they're the worst.
People, they're the worst. All right.
Sorry, yeah, Andy.
Thanks, Andy. You're right. It's for many people, a live class where they can interact is much better.
Yeah. What was the name of the program? You said that it's a paid package, but it already has Wine installed.
The Windows.
No, it's not. It doesn't have Wine installed. It's a Win. Oh, for Pete's sake.
FX.
No, it's not that Linux. Anymore.
The WinXOS.org?
WinXOS.org. And it's already, it looks like Windows 10 or 11, you pick. Apparently, it's already got Wine installed. Wine is not magic, okay? There are a number of...
Installing it is.
Yes, but it's already installed. But it is, which means it supports a number of .exe and .msi programs, but not everything. But apparently it also supports Android and Play Store, which shocks me, which is one of the reasons I downloaded it and want to play with it. So we'll see. We'll see how well that works. But that's my... That's my plan right there, to play with that next.
And the lounge is on for tomorrow?
Lounge is on as far as I know.
Okie doke.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, don't forget, every Sunday night at 9 p.m., we do the lounge where we can chit-chat about whatever you want to chit-chat about. It's a live session, although you do not need to turn on your camera and microphone. That is your choice. But we will be there from 9 to 10, and you just go to soundbites.org/lounge, and there will be a link from 9 to 10.
The ISO for Winix is only 5.5 gigs.
That's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
So we'll see, yeah. So Yeah, we'll see. I'm kind of shocked, Dave, that you haven't jumped on my new computer.
I saw that meme you put. Was it 2.5 hours and still hadn't finished loading updates?
Okay, so it's a Windows 11 machine.
Brand new out of the box.
Brand new out of the box.
When did you get it?
This week. 2.5 hours to update. 2.5 hours. It's an SSD. It's an NVMe, and it's very fast.
And you've got gigabit internet, right?
And I've got Greenlight.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. It downloaded stuff and took forever to install it, and then downloaded more stuff and took forever to install it, and downloaded more stuff and took forever to install it. 2.5 hours. 2.5 stinking hours to do the update. And then I closed it down and put it in the corner. I haven't touched it since.
Otherwise, it would have gone flying out the window.
It didn't come with Windows 11?
It came with Windows 11, yes!
But all the updates since they built it.
Holy crud.
Now, Apple has a thing for their iPhones in the store. They auto-update to the latest OS, so you don't have to... We heard some rumors... In the box, without opening the box. We've heard they're going to try to figure out something to do that with a Mac, too. Because it's annoying. Turn on your brand new Mac, and the update that came out last week has to be installed first.
Right. All right, we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. We had some interestingly challenging questions this week. So thank you for those. That's why we're here. Those are more fun than the other kind, trust me. I want to thank everybody who called in. Please join us tomorrow night between 9 and 10 in the lounge. You'll find a link on our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to be Nick Francesco, so I will be. And we will see you next week with the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Be good to one another, will you?